Easter is going to be fantastic because it falls on the first Sunday, and the first Sunday is when we do communion. And so I thank God. There's some churches that do communion every Sunday. And you know what? Communion is beautiful, but we do communion the first Sunday of every month because we love communion and what it means, and it tells us to remember. And so come and be with us at People's Valley. Normally we would be morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, but this coming Sunday for Easter we won't. So it'll be 11 o'clock. No Sunday nights right yet. We're still having our services on Facebook. Wednesday night, Brother Bob Carroll tonight is there out in the fellowship hall teaching about salvation. And so please, you come and be with him. And here tonight, I'll be on Facebook as well. And so Monday nights, we meet together wherever we are apart with corporate prayer at 7 o'clock every Monday night. And we pray for all the needs as well as our kids and for our church as well. And so please, you come and be with us as we're in Wednesday in the Word tonight on Facebook and Sermon Audio. Amen. Getting back to our series, The Testing of Your Assurance, out of 1 Peter. And I thank God, as I said, of a subtopic is how to live through suffering in a non-Christian world. Now, we're talking about tonight withdrawing from fleshly lust. Out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is number 11 in this series, amen. This was March the 31st, 2021, the 18th of Nisan of 5781 of the Hebrew calendar, amen. And so I thank God. What we have talked about in this series, Testing of Your Assurance, is how to be secure through suffering, to know that you're saved in verses 1 through 12 of chapter 1. And now we're currently how to live through suffering in a non-Christian world. And our second subtopic, which will take us all the way into chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, before we change for another subtopic in this lesson that we're going through in the Testing of Your Assurance as well. And so I thank God as we look tonight, a little bit further, as we look into several of the things that we'll be talking about, the morals, the lust, how much this nation has changed with the same sex, with gender. It's a horrible thing that is so away from the biblical Word of God. And so there's so much that is wrong that is being treated as it's right. And what was right is being treated as it's wrong, even with the Dr. Seuss books and everything. Even today, they're hopping up about our Asians as they hop up about racial things. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm putting myself out of line saying this because I'm just being as honest as I can. But you know, I believe in America that the change happens within the people. The government can't make it happen. It has to happen within the body of Americans today. And until the 8 years of Obama administration, you know what? I believe that there was nothing even unheard of racial things until the Obama administration came back in. And now that hype came back in. And then of all the riots, did you know that somebody oversaw all of those riots? Somebody promoted all of those riots. They didn't just happen sporadically. Somebody dropped a pallet of bricks off everywhere in every city, and somebody in high places orchestrated all of those riots that has been disruptive in America today, that is causing all this disunity in America today. And then today you've got all of these other things on the border that is causing a lot of things. Sounds like I'm being political, but I'm just telling you like it is. And so we've got a lot to pray for today because there's some weak leadership. Hey, and not looking at political parties. I'm just saying it's weak. And as we look at this tonight, as I finish talking about this, let me stop right here for just a minute, get into our time of prayer, and we'll pick right back up in this same subject because this is a touchy subject. I'm not out here trying to down any political party or anything. I'm teaching the Bible tonight, but I want you to open your eyes up because what you see is more evil every single day, and all of the things that are happening to our young people, it is unfair. And what is happening to our Americans is so unfair because as we're flooding in and everything that is taking place, you know what? It's almost like this is something that the majority of Americans did not even want. It's not being cruel or anything. It's just during this pandemic that we're still involved in right now, that you're just flooding the gates and opening up and letting all of the different things come in through the gates. Boy, that is really not protecting America at all. You know, there's a purpose in that for some reason. I'm not going, I've got my opinions, but I'm going to keep those to myself because I'm getting in the Word of God tonight. But I'm going to tell you, there is a reason for that. And I don't believe that is a good reason. And it's not of the humanity nature that it is accused or saying that they're using it for, amen. But it's for personal gain in political places and arenas. And that is so wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're due to pray. Our obligation is to pray for our leaders. But if our leaders do the wrong thing, God will deal with those leaders. And I believe that he's going to deal with these leaders like they ain't never been dealt with before, because it's coming their way. God will not let it go by. But we've got to be patient. We've got to pray. And we've got to turn everything over to the Lord. Is that hard to do? You better believe. Because you want to get yourself out of the way. You want to get in involved. You want to do something. But you need to step back and let God do what he does best. Amen. Because we've got to trust him in these things, because there ain't a thing in the world we can do about all these things but trust him. And so tonight, remember all those that are lost: Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Heather Bentley, Melissa Ruppel, Mary Pruitt's Uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny, Laura Skates, Becky Benefield, Kara King, Jake and Joyce Sr., Mark Pratt, Christy Campbell. I want you to remember Rachel Zumach, I tell you, as we look at the needs tonight of each and every one of these, we want to continue remembering all of the ones that we've been praying for that are going through grief and sadness right now in their life. I want you to remember, continue remembering Joanne Cabe, and keep her lifted up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, along with all of our other families that we've been praying for recently as well. And as I turn around and grab my list very quickly, for the Turner family, Ben Turner family, Thomas Evans. Also, I want you to remember Thomas Lester Boucher. That is Richie and Polly Foley's Uncle Tom. We'll be having his celebration of life April the 10th at 1 o'clock that Saturday. That's the Saturday after Easter. At 1 o'clock at the church there at 68 Ledford Lane. So please, you remember them. Continue remembering Earl Matheson with his recovery as well. Also Earl Matheson's family, his sister, and also with the death of his brother-in-law. Keep all of them in your prayers as we lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and along with all of our shut-ins as well. Please remember our widows and widowers: Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Senior, Sheila Senior, Sarah Turner, Elizabeth Boucher, Melinda Grimes, LaVon Underwood, Linda Adams, Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis, Earl Matheson, Todd Barnes, John Osher, Bradford Thomas. Remember all of these ones as you pray for them, as we lift them up. All of our cancer patients: Gail George, Carolyn Bentley, Eugene Jenkins, Stevie New, Daryl Pruitt, Carrie Jo Payne. Remember all of these. Also, Dot Jenkins, continue remembering her, one of our beloved that we love in the church, that has been just a blessing for so many years. So we want you to remember all of these many needs within our family as well. And so as we have our time of prayer and then go into our worship time, I want you to remember all of our young people that you would just continue to pray for them as they're challenged with things, faced with things, because America is changing so much. And man, that's exactly one of the things. The character of America is changing. I'll give you some quotes from some politicians that they say it is too. Believe it or not, it was already changing prior to that. And it doesn't matter about political parties. There is change that's coming from different ones in different ways. But it's for what personal goal? You see, because the people that have power, they hunger for more power. And if they can figure out the way to cheat the system, they will cheat it. And so that's the thing. When you got somebody that's one-sided, that knows how to cheat the system, they will continue to do it and get away with it. But I don't believe they're going to continue to get away with it. You say, man, you're putting yourself... That's right. I believe in an almighty God that every bit of it is going to be shouted from the rooftops, and every bit of the deceit and the wrongfulness will come out. And the liars that are lying and that have done wrong, they will come out. And so I believe in the name of Jesus Christ that it will be showed. And it may not be in our time, but it will come out. And more, I tell you, I don't care if one of these days it's going to come out, and it'll be known by all. And so let's pray tonight. Father, please, tonight, I pray for the many that as they tune us in, Lord, God, that they will be just asking you, Lord, to help them in all the areas. Especially, we're at war, Father. We're at war with the enemy. And Lord, the greatest enemy that we come across is ourself, this flesh. We know that there's three enemies, the world, the flesh, and Satan. But one of the worst battles that we'll ever fight in America will be this flesh. And I'm talking about myself. Lord, tonight, I don't know about anybody else's flesh. I just know how bad mine is. And so, Father, tonight, help us in this area to abstain, to withdraw. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, from these desires that these, Lord, you gave us certain desires that you wanted us to have. But, Lord, we abuse those things and go beyond those, sometimes with a variety of things. And so tonight we ask, Lord, that you'll help us in America and across this nation to be the Christians that you want us to be, Father, that we would set an example. And it is all about our testimony, that the enemy is trying to destroy every testimony across this nation, and he's trying to destroy the testimony of the church. And so, Father, this Easter, let the power of God and the beauty of our witness be so powerful that nobody will be able to deny the power of your resurrection. That they, Lord, will see it and they will want exactly what we've got, which is, Lord, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God that has camped out in us ever since we got saved. And we're just so thankful, Father, for your salvation, that you give us what no one else could ever give us. You give us peace. You give us satisfaction. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise your mighty name tonight and thank you for saving me. And Lord, I know I failed you many times, but Lord, I pray in the coming days when it comes down to the line, and Lord, when we draw the line in the sand that will not cross, that Lord, we'll lift up the mighty name of Jesus and we will abstain from all of this world desire and lust that is in this world today, and set an example, Lord, for our Lord and Savior Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for going to the cross for all of us tonight. Bless these that are lost, and I pray that you'll speak to those that are tuning us in, Father. Might not be even nobody even tuning us in right here locally, but Lord, I know they are tuning us in somewheres. And Lord, I thank God for the ones that do tune us in and what a blessing they are. And I pray that you will bless them just because they listen to the Word of God. Lord, I pray, God, that they'll wake up in the morning at 2 o'clock and shout glory because God's done give them something to shout about. And Lord, he's done fed them with the goodness from your table. And you have given them, Lord, the blessings. Lord, Father, that they'll go forward and everything that they do for you will be a blessing that will reach many for Christ and make a great difference. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Boy, let's grab one of these old hymn books. Man, my mom and them wore these books out. Look how wore out this book is, man. Look at it. Man, I'm going to tell you, this has been so used so much, so many times, amen. You know, our Bibles ought to look like this, amen. Like I say, I got two Bibles, the pages are falling out of them. I try not to even take them out of my study no more because I lose the pages, amen. I thank God as, but man, how wore out this is. We ought to be worshiping God and wearing out the hymnals, amen, and singing glory and praise to Jesus Christ, amen. Let me see if I can remember this. This is old. Twilight is stealing over the sea. Shadows are falling dark on the lea. Born on the night wind, voices of yore came from a far off shore. Far away, beyond the starlit skies, where the love light never, never dies. Gleam of a mansion filled with delight, sweet, happy home so bright. Voices of loved ones, songs of the past, still linger round while life shall last. Lonely I wander, sadly I roam, seeking that far off home. Far away, beyond the starlit skies, where the love light never, never dies. Gleam of a mansion filled with delight, sweet, happy home so bright. Come in the twilight, come to me, bringing some message over the sea. Cheering my pathway while here I roam, seeking that far off home, far away beyond the starlit skies, where the love light never, never dies. Gleam of a mansion filled with delights, sweet happy home so bright. Gleam of a mansion filled with delights, sweet happy home so bright. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles out. Amen. Let's get ready to get into 1 Peter. I thank God as we look tonight. And remember, as we begin to put up the Word of God, we're talking about withdrawing from fleshly lust out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, amen. And so tonight, I thank God as I was getting ready for this Bible study, I was reading about a story about a Wall Street broker that had fallen in love with a young lady, and he began dating her. And he was very wealthy, and he had to be careful whom he related to. He didn't want to relate to somebody that would damage him or only come after him for his money. And so he had one of his associates hire a private detective to find out everything that there was to find out about this lady. And he didn't want to make a mistake. And so he also didn't want the private eye to know whom he was doing the investigation for, lest that girl would find out later and think that her love didn't trust her. Man, that wouldn't be good. And so the broker got his associate to hire a private eye to check up on this lady without telling the detective who it was that was making the assessment and paying the bill. And so after several weeks, the report came back on the young lady whom the broker was considering. And the report said, I've investigated this young lady and she has a squeaky clean life. Perfect in every detail, no flaws, no mistakes, and she is on the up and up in every possible way. However, there's one little possible blimp on the screen of her life, and she is often seen around town with a company of a young broker whose dubious business practices and principles are well known. You see, if you don't get the story, the problem may be you. You know? And so I tell you, I thank God the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And I thank God the problem sometimes is not the other person, it may be you. Let me give you a very good example. As we look at this study this morning, we're reminded of the area of this in Asia Minor where the Christians were being persecuted. Throughout all of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia in these areas, which was of today modern-day Turkey. And so, believe it or not, suffering comes hand-in-hand with God's people. There's been so much suffering that takes place. But one of the things that we see in this particular writings is we see we're reminded back of how the character of America is changing. Not picking on Trump or Biden or either one, but I remember Biden had an article back when he was running for presidency, and as he was just a former vice president then, he kicked off his, he called it the No Malarkey. And this is what he said, Biden warns, 8 years of Trump's presidency would change the character of the U.S. Well, you know what? I wonder what this next 4 years is going to change the character of the U.S. because what we see happening is more and more American rights are being lost. Americans are not being able to practice. Why? Before long, they're going to take everything and they'll have you lining up in a line. But right now, my point is not to pick on President Biden, but I just want to remind you what you said, what he said on the campaign trail. That and you know that goes for either way. That's true. Whoever is in leadership, this is my point, whoever is in leadership and has the power, they're the ones that's making a lot of changes that will affect America. And when they affect America, they will affect the character. When they affect the character of America, it will change the personality of every one of our children in this United States of America, and even our good kids that we're trying to teach. One of the things I like that my co-worker, her grandchildren, dad is teaching them is about chivalry. How that the man, if he takes the wife and the kids out to eat, that he don't go out to eat if he ain't got the money to take them out to eat. He stays home. But if he goes out to eat, it's the man's responsibility to pay and open the door because it's chivalry. Today, people will pick on that like they do the Dr. Seuss books. They're picking on the Asians now because they're saying that people are running over the Asians, that there's bigotry in that. You know, I mean, if there is, and I'm not aware of it. But I never knew that there was a cause until this administration got in there. And now, not only is there this, but there's that. And if there's that, there is this. But there's like something all the time where this is the highlights of the administration. There's something all the time. But I'm going to tell you, as we look at this, we see the change in morals in America is what we're talking about. There's a time when the leaders of our country unashamedly proclaimed that their trust was in God. George Washington, I think, began to tell us some of those things. And one of the things that George Washington said, he says, listen, he says, it's impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all the dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are the indispensable supporters, unquote, praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you today, similar quotations, we could go on and on and on, but I'm going to tell you something. It reminds us of Romans chapter 1 of all over again. Well, if you was to go back over in the book of Romans, you say, preacher, I thought you were in 1 Peter. I am. But just tune in just very quickly as my introduction here. Because I thank God, Romans chapter 1 is like something that we go back and it tells us, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God in Romans 1:21. And I'm going to tell you, Romans chapter 1 is one of the most powerful chapters that Paul began to give us. Because little by little, our leaders have spoken less and less of God. And it's now insisted that a candidate's religious beliefs and morals should be given no consideration in judging his suitability for office. Under the concept of separation of church and state, politicians are ridiculed, sometimes rejected, if they allow their faith to affect their votes on vital issues. Great universities established by religious people for the glory of God have become a completely secular and even atheistic, and God's name is now so disrespected that it is constantly profaned to express every other human emotion that's out there. And so it's sad that Romans chapter 1 goes back and it's all about how wicked this nation is today, because I thank God it says in Romans 1:21, nor were they thankful, amen. Nor were they thankful, amen. In times of crisis, we may stand and sing God Bless America, but when the crisis is past, just like when this pandemic is over, God is forgotten, amen. And we hear about the American spirit and our resourcefulness and the resilience, but how often do we hear thanksgiving to God? God, I want to thank you for giving me what I've got in this nation today. Thank you for my freedom, amen. Thank you for what I have. But no, it's what I want to change. I want to make it so liberal that it don't even look like a biblical nation of God anymore. Amen. We'll have to take off the models off of our money and everything else when the character and the responsibility of our nation's leaders get done with this country. It'll be no more models in God we trust whatsoever. I tell you, because Paul said in Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And so I tell you, of all the things that they do, the scientific methods that have been created out of a marvelous standard of living, but we have been foolish enough to suppose that human wisdom and all truth can be discovered, but it cannot, because God created it and God made it. Hallelujah, praise God. And the result has been an explanation for the existence of man that is neither scientific nor rational, and complete ignorance of what lies beyond the grave. Hallelujah. It is the word of God, amen, that we've got wisdom for today, praise God. Paul said in Romans 1:23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. You know what? In other words, the religion that presently dominates education and philosophy is secular humanism, a religion that makes man the measure of all things, and we've exchanged the root of the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Man, I could go on and on, but chapter 1 of Romans is a powerful thing for America, that the character is changing, the morals and everything like that. And so I'm going to tell you, we had a nation that is getting more wicked each and every day as we go forward, amen. But I thank God we need to call a self-examination to this nation today. While we grieve over the decline of faith in our nation, we've got to remember that faith is a very personal thing, and the nation trusts in God only to the extent that its citizens trust in God. Those of us who are concerned about national trends need to ask ourselves, is my trust truly in God, amen? Do I trust His power sufficiently to believe that He did all that He did in Genesis chapter 1? You better believe I do, praise God. Yes, I believe in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. I believe that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, amen? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and so on, amen? You better believe, amen. Why? I thank God we've changed this nation so much every day that here we're trying to withdraw from the lust of desires, and man, this old body is having a time because there's many people that are not going to fight the war. But I'm going to tell you, do I trust God's wisdom sufficiently to do whatever He asked, whether I see the necessity of it or not, and to do it as He has directed, even though I think other ways would be better? You need to trust the Lord in all of these things, amen. Trust His rule in the kingdom of men sufficiently to accept it, amen. And I thank God. Trust His care, amen, securely, amen, as you would put money in the bank, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look at this and begin to realize, let's get ourselves over into the Word of God without any hesitation. As we bring it up, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now I'm going to read it through to verse 12 as well, and then we're going to go back and get into it and start into it as we can. And then we see that everything about this is talking about us being submissive to our Heavenly Father, amen. We've got to submit to Him everything that we're going through. Whatever heartaches that you're going through, is it loneliness? Then you need to submit to the Lord, amen. The Lord will provide somebody that will come and be the man or the woman that you need in your life, the godly man or woman, let me put it that way. Hey, if there's something that you're going through in grief, God, as we submit to Him, God will give you the comfort that you need. And I thank God it is through His infallible word that we'll get the greatest strength, that will bring us up out of the shadows and out up over the blues and get us back up on the sunny rise, sun path of stepping the step and the beat that God's given every man and woman, boy, girl, in the kingdom of God, hallelujah, that we'll be able. Because remember what we talked about last time, that Peter said that we're living stones, amen. And today, the only hope for the world is the local church. Hallelujah. I wrote my thesis on that in college. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, the church is committed by Christ. Amen. I thank God. We destroy the lingering sin within, as I talked about in verse 1 last time. We desire the spiritual growth through God's word in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1, verse Peter. Amen. And then he said, not only living stones, but he said, we're a chosen people. He's telling church, you're commissioned by Christ. Amen. Boy, I thank God. You know what? As we sometimes focus on our personal relationship with Christ, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a vital corporate aspect to our salvation as well that we can't miss. Because listen, we are saved as individuals, but we are not saved to live as individuals. We are the body of Christ. And I thank God when we come together, we make a difference in this world. We'll make a difference in America when the Christians come together, amen, and continue to unite. And so I thank God here we're talking about heavenly people, amen, where the church is called to do good works. And so I thank God as we begin to look at it, who we are should always be the source of our behavior is what Peter is telling us. Because I thank God he's saying that we're strangers and exiles in this world. And this is our new identity in Christ. It is from this identity that our changed behavior should flow. And I thank God it is because of us Christians that we can have that changed identity in Christ that will make a difference when the character of America is being changed by the leadership in this nation. And we are being infiltrated through television and Hollywood and all of the evil, lustful things that we need to be abstaining from that come on our televisions today. And the idea here is that we should live in a way that is unexpected, refusing to give in to the sinful patterns of a culture that is around us. And the visible nature of this countercultural lifestyle is critical today, amen. We're to live honorably so that when the world attempts to slander us as evildoers, that our faithful lifestyle refutes every accusation that the world can come up against us, praise God, and the world will have no option but to admit that their slanderous charges cannot be supported, praise God, and instead our good works will draw them toward God. And so I thank God we begin to realize that we should always be the source of our behavior, praise God, no matter what. And so the early Christians faced persecution. They experienced suffering for their faith in Christ. And Peter reminded them of their identity as God's people, formed by Christ, sent out on his mission, united to Christ, the one that suffered for us on the cross. Christians can expect God to use suffering to make us into the image of his son. And I thank God. Let's go to that second verse, and I'll go back and reiterate on these. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us. These two verses speak about the aspect of our walk with the Lord, amen. You know, there's somebody watching you. I don't care if you drive out of this county and go over and get a beer in another county. There's somebody watching you. If you think you're getting away with sin and you're a child of the King and you shouldn't even be living that way, you shouldn't even have a desire, you think you're going to hide off and go off somewhere else and do all of your fleshly things, hey, God's watching you first. But there's always somebody that's going to see you. There's always somebody that you don't know that's watching you. And the central thing of Peter's letter, from chapter 2, right here from verse 11, going all the way over into chapter 3, verse 12, it emphasizes one word, amen, and that is submission. That's why submission is what it does. Submission is what it's all about, amen. I thank God. Here, every one of us, it is the life of every believer to be submissive to our Heavenly Father, amen. It ain't popular today in this day of lawlessness and the quest for personal fulfillment for us to be submissive. But that's what God is asking us to do, even during this pandemic that we're in right now, that we withdraw from fleshly lust, amen. And so Peter applied the theme of submission to the life of a believer as a citizen, amen, in verses 11 through 17. I'm going to just shoot up and give you a highlight of in the coming days, amen. Peter also applied the theme of submission to the life of a believer verses 18 through 25. He also applied it to the submission of a life of a believer or a marriage partner, a worker, amen, from chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, amen. He applied it to the member of a Christian assembly from chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, amen. Submission does not mean slavery or subjugation, but simply the recognition of God's authority in our lives. God has established the home. He's established human government and the church, and he has the right to tell us how these institutions should be run. And so God wants each of us to exercise authority. But before we can exercise authority, we must be under authority. And I thank God Satan's offer to our first parents was freedom without authority, but they ended up losing both freedom and authority as well. And Peter shared with all of us three excellent motives for submitting to authority and thus living dedicated, living obedient Christian lives, amen. I thank God because for the sake of the lost, as Christians, we must constantly remind ourselves who we are, our identity in Christ. And Peter did this in verse 11 of chapter 2. I thank God because this is one of the things that we begin to learn here tonight as we get ready to get into this, amen. In ourselves, there's nothing that God can love, but he loves us because of Jesus Christ. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, amen. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are accepted in the beloved, the Bible tells us. Our love relationship to Jesus Christ ought to be motivation enough for us to live godly lives in a godless world today as we withdraw ourselves from this fleshly lust that is out in the world out there today, amen. And so I thank God, you know what? Our real battle is not with people around us, but it is with the passions that are within each of us. I like what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody says, I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than with any man I know, unquote. And that is the truth. You're going to have more trouble with yourself. I'm going to have more trouble with Daryl Bailey than I am anybody else out there because of the fact that our real battle is not with people around us, but with the passions within us. And that's what Peter is talking about, amen. If we yield to these sinful appetites, then we're going to start living like the unsaved that are around us, and we're going to become ineffective witnesses, amen. And so I tell you, as we look and realize today, that just as we will see the word war in just a few minutes, amen, as we get into it, we see here, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, as we talk about that godly inner walk that Peter is expecting for every one of us, amen. I thank God. You know, as you look at that flag that I did with the Christian flag, and I made that and put that in there, it makes you think of how the morals and the character of this nation is so up and down. There ain't nothing rock steady anymore. Everything is so evil that it's getting more evil. And so it's sad that we've got a godly inner walk that we need to maintain, amen. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life, a person's esteem and worth and image are often determined by how much of the world they possess, by how much money they have, by how much power they have, by how much worldly recreation and pleasure that they're able to enjoy, by how famous they become, amen, how many people they conquer in face-to-face confrontations or some kind of relationships. It's horrible today. The flesh is exalted and lust is honored, which is not good, because this is not the way of God and it's not the way of His Word for the church today. And so Scripture is unmistakable, withdrawn from the fleshly lust is what it's teaching us, amen. And so these two verses speak about the aspect of our walk with the Lord. And it's first of all in verse 11 dealing with a godly inner walk that we should have, amen. Well, I thank God that He's talking about, praise God. And so as we look at this, we see who we are should always be the source of our behavior, the submissiveness, amen, that godly inner walk that we have. But I thank God also, as we look at this, we're going to begin to see as Christians, we should abstain from the sinful desires of the world. And the question is why? Because Peter offered three reasons. Reason number one, you're strangers and you're pilgrims, amen, under that submissiveness, amen. That's what he's telling us. You know what? I thank God every one of us, as he tells us about that godly inner walk as Christians, that we abstain from the sinful desires of the world, amen, because Peter has given us a reason, amen, because he says, again, he tells us in this, he says, listen, dearly beloved, he's saying, you know, as we look, he says, strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, amen. And I thank God, after establishing who we are and describing who we are, Peter took the subject a step further by reminding of what we are not to do, amen. And I thank God, as Christians, we should abstain from the sinful desires, amen, of the world. And I thank God, one of the reasons, amen, he says we're aliens and strangers. And that word alien, it refers to a person that lives in a foreign country, amen, but maintains their citizenship in a native land. It's translated strangers, and I thank God it means a temporary resident. Amen. We're just passing through here, amen. This ain't our permanent residence, amen. Here's the point. The world is not our real home, Peter said. Our citizenship is not in this world, I thank God, nor will we dwell permanently on the earth. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We're just living here for a while, but we have not taken citizenship in the world, because sinful desires is a part of this world and the characteristic of those that are under the influence of this world. But because we are strangers here, because our citizenship is not in this world, we're not to participate in these sinful desires, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, Peter gave another reason that we're not to participate in the sinful desires, amen. But I thank God, and that is, he tells us as well, he says, lust wars against your soul, is what he said. Now, I thank God, he said what? He says, lust wars against your soul. I thank God, as we look at those sinful desires, that he tells us again, he says, which war against the soul, praise God. You know what? That's the reason, he said, of the sinful desires. He said, that war against the soul, in other words, is the sinful desires that's not good for us. They harm us. They bring damage to us. I tell you, widow preacher, he captured the truth when he said, and I quote him, he said, certain things are not bad for us because God condemns them. Rather, God condemns them because they are bad for us, unquote. And I thank God it is by that pure walk, that word stranger that he was talking about, amen, someone that dwells and walks alongside, amen. Peter's saying the believer's a stranger, a foreigner. He's a resident, but he's not a citizen of this earth, amen. And I thank God each and every one of us when we go through life, the believer is only passing through this earth on his way home, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that of that godly inner walk that he's talking about, which war against the soul, amen. I thank God having a pure way of walking is what he's talking about. Boy, I thank God every one of us as we look and he begins to tell us some of the things that we're going through, amen. He says, dearly beloved, he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, amen. Dearly beloved is what he said. And so I thank God, every one of us, he's established who we are, and he's describing who we are because Peter took the subject a step further by reminding us of what we are not to do, amen. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and as strangers in the world to abstain from those sinful desires which war against the soul, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, every person has experienced the flesh is pulling, desiring, wanting, grasping, craving, hungering, thirsting, longing, taking of all the things. Every person knows what it is to have the flesh lusting after something, to have it yearning and to lay hold of something. But the flesh is strong and difficult to control, and it never lets up. It's assault against the will. But I thank God, what are the lusts of the flesh? What kinds of sins are being referred to by the scripture? Amen. I tell you, I thank God, you know what, you want to get a good idea? Go over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, and you'll get a good idea. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. I'm not reading it, but I'm going to tell you what Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 talk about. Adultery, sexual unfaithfulness to a husband or wife, fornication, a broad word including all forms of immoral and sexual acts, premarital sex, adultery, abnormal sex, and all kinds of sexual vice. Uncleanliness, moral impurity, doing things that's dirty, that are polluting, and that'll soil your life. Lasciviousness, filthiness, indecency, and shamefulness. Idolatry, the worship of idols, whether mental, material, all of these things within a person's mind, given one's primarily devotion to, other than God. Witchcraft, sorcery, the use of drugs or evil spirits to gain control over the lives of others or over one's own life that it talks about, amen. Of reading, of seances, of fortune teller, of crystal, or forms of witchcraft. Hatred is another that Galatians talk about. Hostility, hatred that lingers and it's held on for a long time, deep within, amen. Variants of strife, discord, distension, fighting, struggling, quarreling, dissension, and wrangling. All something of position, promotion, prosperity, honor, and recognition. The deception that is involved, amen. Immaculations, wanting, desiring to have, and what someone else has. It may be material things, recognition, honor, position, amen. Wrath, violence, explosion, amen. All of these, amen, that it's talking about, amen, that war against the soul, amen. Strife of conflict, struggle, fight, contention, dissension. Of all the spirits that's out there, seditious, division, rebellion, standing against others, splitting off from others, amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you think you're doing good because you want to do something in your church and all of a sudden you split off and do something. The heresies of rejecting the fundamental beliefs of God, of Christ, the scriptures, the church, believing and holding to some teachings other than the truth, amen. Envyings, the word goes on to jealousy in the spirit that wants not only the things that another person has, but begrudges the fact that the person has them, and they're jealous, that wants not only the things to be taken away from that person, but wants them to suffer through the loss of them. Murders, to kill, to take the life of another person, amen. Or murders, a sin against the sixth commandment, amen. Drunkenness, taking drink and drugs to affect one's senses, lust and pleasure, becoming tipsy, intoxicated, partaking of drugs, seeking bodily sexual pleasure through drinking and drugs, amen. Rivalry, carousing, uncontrolled license, indulgence, pleasure, taking part in wild parties, drinking parties, lying around, indulging, feeding the lust of the flesh. That is all the things that the book of Galatians is talking about that Peter says that we need to be withdrawn from those fleshly lusts. I'm pretty plain. That's pretty plain right there. The flesh is strong and it's difficult to control, and it never lets up its assault against the will. But note that the flesh, as it wars against the soul, the flesh has within it a base and unregulated urges and passion, and a man senses the desire, he urges to do what he likes, lifts to the restraints, and follows his own desires and passion. Look out, you're going to be in trouble. He knows that he shouldn't do it, but the pull and the desire tugs and struggles and wars against their soul. The flesh keeps a person from doing what he would. Every person has experienced the power of the flesh. Someone has craved into the flesh and done something that he didn't want to do. They fought against doing it. They knew that it was harmful, hurtful, and yet they could not resist the flesh. Oh, me. Yeah, I've been there. Done that. Yes. We give in to the power of the flesh, and all of a sudden, we're in trouble. And so it's a struggle that this old fleshly nature that we deal with today. Amen. And so the exhortation is strong that it says withdraw. It says abstain. Abstain from fleshly lust. That is strong exhortation. It's saying withdraw from fleshly lust. I thank God. That's why I called this, amen, withdrawing from fleshly lust, amen. Withdraw from that which war against the soul. And so I thank God each and every one of us. Lust enslaves no matter what the lust is. Lust for drugs. Lust for alcohol, cigarettes, amen. Hey, you know what? Some people, they've been doing it so long, they just can't quit. Well, hey, it's your business, ain't it? But you know what? I know one thing. You say you can't do it, but I tell you what, it can be done with the help of the Lord if you want to. But if you don't want to, you won't. And so, have I had tobacco? You bet. But when I went behind that pulpit, what I'd done as a habit for many years, with the Lord's help, I quit tobacco. That's right. Man, I'm going to tell you. Hey, do I get up and preach against it all the time? No. But I'm going to tell you, the charge of this is we need to get away from all of this stuff. We need to get away from this lust for pornography, this position and power and money, all of this that enslaves. The more a man follows the lust of the flesh, the more freedom and liberty they lose. They become a slave to that which they set their heart upon. Their minds and thoughts upon the flesh, its lust, will enslave them to fleshly lust. And they find themselves enslaved. You say, you looking down on somebody that's in pornography? Hey, you into tobacco? You're into alcohol? Hey, you better keep quiet. You ain't got nothing. You're into something yourself. That's why it's about our witness and submission. And so, you know what? I ain't the one that's preaching. The Holy Spirit is preaching to you right now. I'm teaching this Sunday school lesson. And it is the Word of God from 1 Peter. And so, the lustly flesh enslave and weaken the freedom of the slow of the soul. Amen. And so, I thank God it hampers the growth of the soul. You wonder, you know how much better you could actually be at what you're doing for the Lord if you'll get rid of those other things? God will use you significantly. But you can't get rid of them because you're not letting the Lord have every bit of a complete control. You're too much of a control freak and you're latching on to those things. And so that's why. And so the exhortation, again, is strong. Believers must withdraw, abstain from those fleshly lusts which they wore. Hey, you know what? My personal opinion, sure. Hey, maybe smoking a cigarette ain't as bad as other things, maybe. But you know what? I can't look down and say, well, you know what? This is number one, this is number two. God says, no, this is strong exhortation. Matthew 5:29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I tell you, I can go on. See, I'm running a Thomas Jane reference here right now. But I thank God, each and every one of us, this brings us to our third point. We talked about godly inner walk. And there was a reason. Reason number one that we talked about that was your strangers and your pilgrims, amen. Reason number two is that lust wars against your soul. You need to have a pure way of walking, amen. That godly inner walk, amen. But I thank God as Christians, we need to abstain from the sinful desires of the world. That brings us to our second verse. And I thank God where we talk about godly outward walk. Godly outward walk. I thank God. Remember, reminding ourselves who we are should always be the source of our behavior. Being submissive, amen. And so I thank God as we look at that third and last reason that unbelievers are watching you. They're watching you. Amen. And so it's sad, but I thank God each and every one of us, as He tells us in the Word of God, as Christians, we should abstain from the sinful desires of the world. Why? The third reason that Peter offered of the three reasons, unbelievers are watching to be submissive. And I thank God it brings us into the Word of God in verse 12, where He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Amen. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us, when we look and realize that He's talking about us being able to go forward. Because one of the things He said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Amen. When we give in to sinful desires, we damage our influence and we do harm to our Christian testimony. Amen. And so Peter expressed the idea in a positive way. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. Our behavior is to be marked by our outer goodness that strikes the eye of non-Christians who live around us. Amen. And so it is that pure walk, but it's all about having a powerful witness is what we're talking about. Peter says that believers are to live right in front of the lost world. And that's exactly what this is stating. Amen. That he said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. It means a good life. It means a life that is honorable, righteous, pure, lovely, decent, excellent, upright, praise God. Noble, it means a life that is without blame, that cannot be justly or accurately blamed with any sin or evil, because the world is watching for a genuine believer to see if they really live what they profess. And therefore, we must live honest lives that are just what we profess. Holy, righteous, and pure. Because unbelievers speak evil of believers. And it's sad because the believer must never add fuel to the fire. We must never give the world a chance to justly accuse and damn. The believer must withdraw from all of those fleshly lusts. And they must live an honest life to do exactly what they proclaim and profess. Amen. And so we've got to have, unbelievers must have a chance for those to be saved. We need to be able to have a powerful testimony and to witness. Amen. And so I thank God that it talks, as it goes on, it says, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Amen. Boy, I thank God. The day a man is visited by God to bring that man to repentance and salvation, the day God will visit the earth for a final judgment. That day of visitation is the day of God's inspection and salvation, and the day when He saves a man, and it's the day when He returns to earth as a Savior and Lord. And our idea is that unbelievers will be won to Christ by our honest lives and glorifying God in a great way, that I thank God that we'll be able to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I thank God. He says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith is Godward, is spread abroad, so that we must need not to speak anything. You know, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I thank God He tells us in Scripture, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, and sincerity. Amen. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen. I thank God. He says, what? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conscience his works with meekness of wisdom. Amen. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so thank God each and every one of us. What does this mean to us today? We're reminded of our privilege as Christians. We are the people of God. And what a privilege that is to have. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if you're out there listening tonight And listen, you're a child of the King. You'll say, thank you, Jesus, amen. Because it's a privilege that we're reminded of today, amen, that we are the people of God. What a privilege it is to be the people of God. And as the people of God, everything that belongs to God is available to us, amen. Every promise that the Bible contains in it for us, we are His people. What a privilege, praise God. Hallelujah, amen. We're reminded of our responsibility as Christians, amen. And as the people of God, we've got a responsibility to Him that I'm telling you, we're God's plan today. We are His representatives in the world. And what others think of Him will be determined by how we live our lives. What a responsibility. Whoop! Does that word remember? When you change the character of our nation, you're changing the responsibility of every individual American and every born-again Christian out there today. We've got to remember that there is a lot of character that is being changed by this liberalism that is on every television program, and it is indoctrinating our children. And you need to do exactly what I said my co-workers' grandchildren's dad's doing, and that is you need to man up and you need to teach your kids what morals are and what are wrong, amen. They have to come from the home. They have to come from the parents, amen. And we're reminded of our opportunity. We have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing. We have an opportunity to be involved in a work that is permanent and that is eternal, amen. And I thank God the most valuable thing we have as Christians, other than our salvation, is our Christian testimony. And that is exactly what the devil is trying to destroy in America today. The issue of our testimony or our example in 1 Peter is the variety of principles that deal with a person's testimony. An example of that first epistle, every one of us, this is the preciousness of Christ. It is His pattern that He has given us, that our Lord's life is a blueprint for the living, that we're to follow that pattern, amen. I thank God it is a purpose for having a good testimony, that we praise God with it, amen. And I thank God, every one of us, as we reach the unsaved husband and we reach the unsaved wife, amen, a pure conscience puts to shame those that slander us today, and we put to silence the stupidity of the fools that's in America today. We submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We are the examples of purity of the Christian church today. And so I thank God. If I get ready to close out here tonight, and we look, we begin to realize, as it tells us, they may buy your good works which they shall behold. Amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look, and it tells us today that that is one of the most powerful things, that it's through your good works that people can see who you really are, that you're a true, genuine Christian, amen, that has taken each and every one of us and that has given us the greatest blessing, amen, because we have withdrawn from those fleshly lusts and we're not letting our freedom be lost anymore, because I thank God of all the slanders and false accusations in 1 Peter, our godliness and Christ-like example can counter the accusations of those who verbally attack us, and our godly life does not affect those who do not know the Lord. Peter mentions all of the results from our good testimony upon those who slander or falsely accuse us. They may be reached for the Lord by our integrity and our honor. They are reduced to silence by our well-doing, amen, as we look, amen. And so they're rebuked with shame by our clear conscience. And I thank God they're roused with curiosity by our changed life. I tell you, I remember some folks in our church that were drunkards and that was and sinners. And man, when God changed them and cleaned them up, praise God, they dropped cigarettes instantly, amen. They didn't have to struggle with it. They dropped it, hallelujah. That's right, yeah, they did. They dropped that liquor, hallelujah, amen. When it was, God got in it, hallelujah. I saw miraculous things change. And man, I tell you, God rearranged their lives, amen, and began to clean them up, praise God. And I'm going to tell you, because you've lived so much like the world for so long that you can't get the world out of yourself. But He says you need to withdraw from those fleshly lusts to get the real, genuine, every bit of it that God wants you to get, amen. And so Peter continued and he stated that there are some folks that will slander you just because you're a Christian out there today. But let's move on and move out. I thank God. He says, glorify God in the day of visitation. Every one of us, I thank God, as we continue to go, we have a great opportunity today to give glory and honor. The providence of God spared all of us, amen. And I thank God as we continue to leave and get out of here, we've got a great opportunity ahead of us. When we trust Christ, when we glorify Him and give thanks because we're thankful to witness to them, even when people have made our lives difficult, I thank God every one of us, we can give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Remember what I've told you tonight, amen, that every one of us, it's about having godly outward walk. Withdraw from the fleshly lust because unbelievers are watching you. That godly outward walk, that godly inward walk in verse 11 and that godly outward walk in verse 12. In verse 1 of that godly inward walk, amen, reason 1 is you're a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Reason 2, lust wars against your soul. And then that godly outward walk in verse 12, I thank God that reason out there is unbelievers are watching you. You need to maintain a powerful witness for those ones in the body of Christ. And you will reach people, even the meanest people that are in America. You can change them because you have a power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. And you have a powerful witness, amen. And so I thank God it is all about submission. We see the world today and what it's all about. Because today, this is how we live through suffering in a non-Christian world. Withdraw from the fleshly lust. You can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. Father, thank you, Father, for what you give us. You give us the power of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in it, indwelt. The residence has been set up. Lord, we got a foundation that's dug down deep and sound as a rock. It's Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for the peace I have. And Lord, victory. Lord, as we don't have to be held captive. Lord, we're not held hostage. We have freedom truly. Even in this changing character of America with the leadership that we have today. Lord, I would say the same thing if it was the Trump presidency in there. I'm not being biased by any political party, Lord, when I pray this prayer. Because I pray for our leaders. I pray for President Biden. I pray for our governors. I pray for our mayors. And I pray for a change in America and a revival to start in one Christian that's got the boldness, Lord, just like Billy Graham, that went, and he has went to all over the world to kings. He's been to kingdoms. He's been to different lands. And it takes one person that is devoted enough that, Lord, they love you, they're genuine, that they'll make a difference to withdraw and to abstain from all of the fleshly lust of this old sinful nature. The worst war that we'll ever battle is ourself, this fleshly nature. Thank you, Father, for giving us strength and power and reminding us that you're in control and you have a plan and you have the keys to the kingdom. And Lord, you're in control even now, even when we see all of these things that are happening across this nation. Thank you for saving us by your marvelous grace. Lord, if there's an old sinner out there that's listening tonight, I pray for their salvation. I pray for our children that, Lord, they have turned from the morals of being a straight young man or a straight young woman till they've crossed the line against the biblical principles of going with the same sex that God prohibits, that he says he did not create that. He did not intend for the helpmate to be another man for a man or a woman for a woman. Lord, he created the gender of who we are when we were born. Lord, you gave us our manhood or our ladyship, Lord, when we were born. That's what you intended for us to have. Not to be another gender or to change and to change whatever we want to change to be in a literal world that we're in today. You have given us freedom to abstain and withdraw from fleshly lust. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.